You're living in a society, a time when we come to rely on conveniences. And when that convenience is taken away, it can be a big problem in our way of life. That sometimes might lead us closer to God. And that is a good thing. We might even consider becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. But brethren, becoming a disciple comes with a very high cost. And that's the title of my sermon, The Cost of Discipleship. In Luke 14, Jesus made some parables. He ended in verse 33 with an amazing statement. He says, "Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has, cannot be my disciple." He was telling us about the importance of discipleship, what it takes to be a disciple. Let's turn now to Matthew 13, Matthew chapter 13. Where Jesus talks some more about discipleship. Starting at verse 44 and 45, Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sell all that he had and buy that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. He, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." This parable is to show us the decisions that all of us face in the end time. Each person, in his own way, is a merchant looking for truth. Each truth is a jewel that you must seek. And sometimes it takes a lifetime of looking. But anyone who truly devotes himself in finding the most precious truth will be led to it. And led to understand it. The problem is, it costs a very high price. See, each person must pass judgment upon himself. This is the necessary cleansing of the mind that must take place before the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus said the merchant had to sell all that he had in order to obtain his pearl of great price. Those who seek justification, it will require that they surrender all in order to pass the judgment of the the true disciple. Consider then what surrendering all meant. The merchant was faced with the choice of losing this costly pearl forever or giving up all that he had. In a very special way, that pearl of great price is the truth about God's plan of salvation. And that includes God's time of worship. You see, false worshiping on a false day is false worship. Only those who are willing to give up their all in order to worship God on His true Sabbath will receive His seal on their foreheads. Only those who surrender everything will be free from the mark of the beast. Only those who love Jesus Christ enough to lose all will gain all. And that includes eternal life. Only those who have already been looking at the many truths in the scripture will be able to recognize the high value of the pearl of truth you can only find through Sabbath worship. You see, sanctification is a process that is only done in the mind of a Christian on the seventh day Sabbath. Let's look at Ezekiel 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. It says, "Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctified them." The pearl of great price, God's truth, give a sinner the only opportunity to be made holy. There are two overlapping conflicts that should be considered. A wife and a mother who fear losing her marriage over her keeping the Sabbath will also suffer economic loss, economic hardship through a divorce. Let's turn to Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 34, 38. Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be those of his own household. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me," Jesus said. "And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. The man who gave up a well-paying job in order to keep the Sabbath, the true Sabbath that God gave us, will have to meet rejection. He will have to be meet misunderstanding and criticism by relatives and friends, and perhaps even his own wife and children. Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 16 and 17 says, He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And that no one may buy and sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. To face those you love becomes enemies. To face the loss of the ability to buy and sell. This is the cost of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Each person must stand alone in this test. True disciples must be prepared to lose marriage, jobs and income, and with it, your house, your car, and even your self-esteem. But brethren, there's hope. There's great hope in the scripture. These tests refer back to the curses which was placed on mankind in the Garden of Eden. By her consent to be deceived, Eve seemed to be punished the most. Her curse was twofold. Let's turn to Genesis 3, Genesis chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrows. In pain shall you bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Many people assume that the pain mentioned here is just the physical pain of giving birth. But it's much, much more than that. The continuing concern of the care required of a mother who feel the pain that her child feel. When the child hurt, she suffer as well. Whatever bring pain and sorrow to that child touches the heart of the mother. And that goes on all her life. But the curse is turned into a blessing, because such pain is an opportunity to remove all selfishness, to be purified by the love of one another. God provides the mean for people, the means for people to understand the pain our sin bring to the Father and the Son. They feel every pain we feel, and every sorrow and sadness we experience. But still, knowing all of this, away ahead of time, they still choose to create mankind. They create mankind knowing that because of the experience of the joy they will experience when mankind choose to follow God's truth and be given eternal life. The second part of Eve's curse is that she would yearn for her husband's love and care that she might not always get. But the curse becomes a blessing when this emptiness caused the woman to seek the love of her heavenly husband, as mentioned in Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, verse 5 says, "For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." He might not have done this in the security of a truly loving human husband. The pearl of great price, the obedience of God's law, can cost her marriage. As for Adam, the curse placed on him and his descendants strike to the heart of man's own opinion of himself. Let's turn back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3, verse 17 to 19 says, "Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for thus you are, and thus you shall return." Living in a society where human values is measured by wealth and riches, many men pay more attention to their jobs and their businesses than to their family or the Creator. They expect the family to love them and honor them for the money they bring in, when that ability to earn is taken away, when they cannot buy or sell. Test becomes great. The pearl of great price can cost a man his job. It can cost him his self-worth. A man in that situation is led to rely on the living God rather than his own ability. He's led into a much closer relationship with God. You see, these curses were meant for our good. It is God's intention to bring us back to a condition of what it was before sin. So instead of talking about how unfair it is, we should pray for spiritual understanding of the value in trusting our Heavenly Father to provide for all our needs. So selling all to purchase the pearl of great price will be the best arrangement anyone would ever make. No matter how a person is led to the kingdom of God, its values will be beyond estimation. We who claim discipleship are being tested, are being tried. Each person's circumstances are different. A true disciple will appreciate these tests and trials that we must go through. We must endure. It helps us to see how we need to grow, what we need to adjust in our life. It helps God to see how well we conform to His molding and forming us into true disciples as we read the scriptures. We come to see the blessing of it offers in knowing that God is ready to help us in our times of need. But we must make a deliberate commitment to enter into a covenant relationship with our God. The Father and the Son, they care for us. They want us so much to succeed in this test. They feel every emotion we feel, whether grief or joy. We must deliberately and knowingly enter into a covenant promise of obedience to the Father and the Son. All His gifts are promise and conditions of obedience. The spiritual word of God's covenant is provided in Deuteronomy 28. This does not require the sacrifice of animals or other ceremonies, but it requires each person to commit themselves to obedience to all the will of the Father and the Son. Obedience to the true Sabbath will have an effect on all the disciples' relationships. It is unpreventable. It is part of the cost of being a disciple. God Himself asks in Amos 3, Verse 3. Can two walk together except they agree? A true disciple, of Christ will do everything possible to maintain a kind of unselfish attitude. When one person chooses to live by truth and the other person rejects truth, there will be an increase in distance in that relationship. The spirit of Satan in the heart of one will be antagonistic towards the spirit of God in the other. Each person is faced with the final test. Breakup of relationship might not be avoided. As a matter of fact, I think it will be. There will be breakup. I lost many friends because I chose to worship on the Sabbath. Any relationship between one person chooses not to obey will produce conflict. Whether it is in marriage, between a child and a parent, between friends and co-workers, or even in the church. Jesus clearly warned of this conflict in Matthew 10, that this will come to all who choose to follow him. Also in Matthew 10, Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Truth is symbolized in Scripture as a two-edged sword. This final test reveals what is in the heart. When a person accepts the truth of God, of his appointed days, the first impulse is to share it with the people around you, the loved ones. It is assumed that families and friends will also see the truth and embrace it with joy and gladness as you do. But that's just an assumption. It never generally happens. The scripture tells us that when Christ was on earth, the common people heard him gladly, while the leaders rejected him. Similar rejection of advancing the truth should be expected today. You cannot be shaken by the attacks or the conflicts that may leave you as a disciple standing alone. If God be with us, who can be against us? It says in Romans 8, 31. You may believe in honoring your mother and father, but may be forced into a position where you cannot always conform to their wishes. God does not require any individual to submit his wish, his will, to anyone else in matters of conscience. Each person must answer to God for his own salvation. The scriptures show the principle that God's authority is above all earthly authority. When anyone, be it husband, parent, or government, try to force their will upon another in matters of religious practice, that person or entity is to be disregarded. God is to be obeyed at all times. No man-made rule or law has the right to make demands that would break the law of God. If you find yourself alone, without friends or family, claim the promises of God. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." And Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Joshua 1 verse 9 says, "Be strong and have good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Psalm 27 verse 10 says, "When my mother and my father forsakes me, then the Lord will take care of me." Kingdom of heaven is like to a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. This means that the proper seeking for salvation or the proper conduct in reference to religion is like the conduct of a merchant. In his search, he found one pearl of great value and sold all his possession to obtain it. So Jesus Christ saying, people seeking or happiness and finding the gospel, the pearl of great price, should be willing to sacrifice all other things to obtain it. Brethren, we are going through some big trials right now, and it is tempting to draw back, but we should always remember the commitment we made in claiming God's promises.